Well, good morning. I want to do a lesson today from the book of Jeremiah. The title today is Make No Excuses. Every once in a while, Nita will fuss at me for making some kind of excuse. And sometimes I just don't want to do something. And it's necessary and you have to do it. You've been in there, done that, got the t-shirt and everything. Jeremiah 1 through 19. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Joachim, son of Joshua, king of Judah, down to the 5th month and 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Joash, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. How many times you doubt of something because you didn't think you could do it? You ever done that, anybody? I've done it plenty of times. Just didn't think I could do it. I don't know how to speak. Too young. I'm going to tell you, there was a day when I was too young, but I'm old now. The Lord said to me, Do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. If God protects you, who can harm you? Nobody. Verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me and said, What do you see, Jeremiah? He said, I see a branch of an almond tree. The Lord said to me, You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. I wonder if God is still watching to see if His word is fulfilled. Well, I don't like what that says in that Bible over there. My Bible says a different thing. I'm going to tell you something. It's nothing wrong with having King James Bible or, NIV Bible. But when you get off in some of those cahooting places, which sounds like a Bible, but you couldn't find one anywhere in it, you ought to let that alone. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? He said, I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. And it's tilting toward the north. The Lord said to me, From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. Will God... No. Let's go this way. Has God ever changed the course of history by changing His words? I mean, God can say to a mountain, Move over there. Can God move things around? Will His truth always be truth? I'm about to summon all the people of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up in their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods and worshiping what their hands have made. Does God get really seriously irritated when we get out of line with Him? Now, does He tolerate a whole lot from us? Yes. But when you start coming in here and making up new stuff, making up new rules, and who's in charge, there's not but one in charge. And that just settles this whole matter. Get yourself ready, he said. Stand up and say to them, whatever I command, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people in the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. I'll fight all day if I don't get beat up. I mean, if I had to. I didn't go to the military. It wasn't because, well, I can tell you, I didn't volunteer. I had no interest in being in the military because my feet are too big to run that far, that fast. But here's what I know. God's on my side, and God will always be on my side, no matter what happens, even if I die. Listen, do you know that even if you die, it's not over? It's not over because you die. God will get you back up. God is not terminal because He's the one that created all things. And He knows when there's a beginning and when there's an end, or if there may not be ever an end. We are skillful at the art of making excuses. We love stuff like that. I find myself there. I don't know how. I don't understand it. I couldn't find the right tools. I threw my back out cutting firewood. I have a doctor's appointment. Well, I won't be here for 2 weeks. I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. I don't know how you get 2 weeks, but that's the way you do it. There's been a death in the family up in Michigan. You going to the funeral? No, but we got a death in Michigan. I think it's a preacher's job to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you, I could give you some lessons on that. In the early days, life was not fun being a preacher. Because there's a golden rule in preacherdom from those who are in control in the churches. He who has the gold makes the rule. And you become everything from a pack rat to anything else. It's not my gift, we say. I already served. Let somebody else do it. People do this. It's been said that excuses are the tools of incompetent, and those who specialize in them seldom go far. Ben Franklin wrote, "He that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else." I love that. Another author says, "He who excuses himself accuses himself." Jeremiah had every excuse ready. His excuses were often our excuses for not heeding God's call. The task in the first place about excuse is demanding. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the nations. It's one thing to be in a location and be called upon as a prophet. But when you are called upon to a nation, that's the big boy arena. Yes? That's a whole different deal. He was not a priest like his father or his grandfather. He was different from his own family. A prophet was chosen and authorized to be a spokesman for God who declared God's word to the people. And God did the choosing of those things, by the way. Being a prophet was more demanding, by the way, than being a priest. Being a priest was a pretty good job. Being a prophet, you caught it all. What happened to the prophets when Israel said, "We don't want to listen to you anymore"? Were there ever times where they killed a prophet? I guarantee you, in some churches right now, you got prophets killing them right now. The prophet never knew from one day to another what the Lord called him to do. He was just out here doing profiting. He was just doing what he did, helping people, encouraging people along the way, listening for a word from God. He never knew when God was going to call him. So he lived a life of not knowing when and where to sleep or where to go or what to do. He just had to stay around. Primarily, the work of a priest was to preserve the past. The prophet was to preserve the nation. Priests ministered primarily to individuals in various needs in regard to this, but prophets addressed the nation. A whole different world. There was a promise here. God may assign, and I think this is the promise, God may assign us a demanding task. Is there anybody in this room who's willing to say that you at some point have been nudged or you felt like God was calling you to do so-and-so? You've had those experiences. I'll tell you what, that's real stuff. God does that. And it doesn't matter if you're on one side of the earth and he's on the other. He can still get you where he wants you to be. You believe it's true? I want you to listen to some words. We have the promise of God's purpose. Here it is in Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. This is God speaking. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. Whoa. Are you telling me that God can make choices in distant eternity that will come true in our own lifetime? Yes or no? Does God still make choices? The verb here has more meaning than simply being aware of something in this text. It carries the idea of the recognition of worth and purpose. Would you expect God to choose someone of worth? And would you choose rather to be chosen by God? I want to be chosen by God. I have been chosen by God. You know when? The day I was baptized into Christ. That's when that happened. Well, y'all had a preacher over there. I remember it. And that little boy that baptized you, I don't think he did it right. I tell you, some people need to go back home, slap themselves, and then come back. Here's old Jeremiah, he's making excuses. But I protested, "Oh Lord, God, I don't know how to speak since I'm only a youth." That's Jeremiah 1:6. Jeremiah felt inadequate. You ever feel inadequate? Don't. Who chose you? Will you get it wrong sometimes? Can he make it right? Yes. Jeremiah felt inadequate. When most of the people in the hometown heard the news that I was going to be a preacher, this is the truth right here. When I made the choice to become a preacher, there was a lot of people's eyes that got real big. I wasn't always the good guy I am now. And you must know I'm not worth killing yet. It wasn't always good. I was a guy who would go in somebody's driveway and poke potatoes up their tailpipe. You ain't never heard people get up in the morning and crank their car with 7 potatoes up the tailpipe. Y'all never had that fun. God has a way to overcome weakness and our insufficiencies. I've learned over the years that the person most aware of his own inadequacy is usually the person that's most dependent on God. I can't do it. My inadequacy has caused me to rely on Him. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. His glory is manifested through my flaws. Don't curse my flaws. Let God turn it into a blessing. Our talent may appear inadequate, but God always equips those He calls. The Lord reached out, Jeremiah 1:9. Reached out His hand and touched my mouth and told me, I have filled your mouth with my words. Can God fill my mouth or yours with His words? When we are in a situation we don't know what to do, can God fill in the blank? Yes. The Lord reached out, touched His hand to His mouth, and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. To touch was not only so much to purify as it was to inspire. I was touched by Jesus. There's a song. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. God is on our side, and everything He does, He does it right. It comes down later in the text. This time, the time is not right. This old boy, every time he turns around, God says, I want you to do this. I can't do that. I want you to do this. I can't do that. I'm going to tell you what. God can do whatever He wants to do. And if God wants to turn you upside down, He can still put you where He wants you to be. Yes? Then it says to me, do not say that I'm a youth, for you will go to everyone I send and speak whenever I tell you. Don't tell me you're too young. Those of you who are young still and think you're older, what's the song? There's coming a day when the teeth will never appear. His presence gives us strength. Jesus felt that same presence with His Father. He knew where He was. Again, the Lord in Jeremiah 1:13 came to me inquiring, what do you see? And He replied, I see a boiling pot. Its lip is tilted up from the north and the south. What's happening here is, in this text with Jeremiah, there's about to be a judgment in Israel. And the picture is from the north. There is this big, huge, boiling cauldron that's going to spew all over Israel. I have marks of what scars do. That's just a little bit. Others have marks of what scars do. But when God puts you in a boiling pot because you don't listen to Him, you're going to come out with chili, but you're not going to be chili. Well, you may be the chili. God's on our side, looking out for us. We have the promise of God's prevailing, and He says in 1:18 and 19, today, I am the one who has made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, and against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the population. They will fight against you, but never prevail. I'll fight anybody if I have to, as long as I know I can win. God made us in such a way, even in our major flaws, even in our worst days, our worst situations, our worst calamities, God is always there. And here's what's neat. If I'm standing here, where is God right now? He's right here with me. And if I walk down here and I were to walk out the back door, would God still be with me? If I got in my car and drove to another state today, and I could do that, would God still be with me? Would God be with you the same way? There is no excuse, because God says, "Son, I got you." And there is nothing to fear. And actually, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And fear, in God's eyes, is canceled. The church said, amen. Amen.